Hi, everybody. I'm Laura. I'm a compulsive overeater. Thanks for having me at this meeting. It's an honor to speak about this program. Because I didn't think I would ever have success with this program. So that I don't even know if success is the word. I didn't think I would get recovery in this program because I didn't for 20 years, but I'm down like 108 pounds today from my top weight. And even more than that, I feel sane, which I also never thought was possible. Let me share, I'll just share some pictures real quick so you can see. These and for anyone listening, these are pictures of me at 250 pounds, and I looked different, and I looked something like this. I did not realize I would be wearing the exact same sweater, but I am. I guess I like it. Anyway, it's a significant body change to be. Every now and then I Google what weighs 100 pounds. Like a young panther weighs 100 pounds. Two carry-on bags that you almost have to pay extra for is 100 pounds. It's sort of fascinating to think about. I have a weight vest that I wear sometimes on walks, and it's 12 pounds, and it feels thank you. It feels very heavy, and I'm like, this was I had 10 times this and was just walking around with it. And I think my when I try to think of something useful to share, you know, we're told to share, you know, what it was like and what happened and what it's like now. And you know, my overview again, I'm 18 years sober in AA, but OA was the first 12-step program I came to. It was easy, very easy for me to see I had a problem with food from when I was little. And then it led me to that other program. But I, 20 years off and on in OA, and I would come in, would do steps, I would get a sponsor, you know, I would do the whole thing. I wasn't just sitting in the back not doing anything, but I never, I think now I never fully surrendered. And I never really got it until I'm 3 years and some change abstinent now. And it was only, you know, 3.5 or so years ago that it was only after I really stopped eating that I understood how serious this is and the concept that it's an addiction. It's not, oh, I want to lose weight, but I want to also keep eating. This is challenging. That it's an addiction. And I don't know why it took me so long to really think of it as an addiction, as serious as gambling or heroin or crack or any addiction. I think maybe because culturally we don't talk about food as an addiction. So I think that makes it a little bit challenging. But I think also I just wanted to eat. So I didn't want to think of it as an addiction, really. And I wanted to be the, and my brain could not wrap around the idea that it was like, it's just an extra bite. It's just a little bit extra food. And a week or two into this abstinence, my sponsor said, really, when I questioned her about, like, why can't I have a bite of something off my husband's plate? Like if it was abstinent food, you know, if it was also the kind of omelet I can eat, you know, why can't I have a bite of his? And she just very quietly said, I don't think you understand what those extra bites do to you. So for me, what it was like, I grew up in a suburb of Dallas. I'm from the town called Grand Prairie. Don't get nervous that it's such an exciting place to be from. I'm just like you. It is a little country town. It's sort of a suburb with a cowboy hat. We had chili cook-offs and is very Texan, and pretty normal parents. I mean, I guess my mom ate, they ate and drank, but they weren't, I wouldn't say addicts. They were very sort of pillars of the community. Loved, I was loved and cared for. I never even heard my mom cuss. I never even heard my parents fight or disagree. And but I did have the eating thing, and my mom did too. And her mom was a real kind of a jerk about it, to be honest. Jerk with a B, if you know what I mean. And when I was like 8, my granny, she would just like chain smoke in our kitchen and tell us we were fat. And she said, when I was your age, here's what you should do. When I was your age, I lot you should lose weight so all the boys will like you. When I you should make a girdle out of an inner tube. That's what I would do. It's what I did when I was your age. And I was like I'm 8. Like she's telling me to make a girdle out of an inner tube. And so I didn't do that, but I did shortly after. I did go on a crash diet, and at 10, I lost like 10 pounds. And I wasn't like a fat kid. I was just, a little bit husky or, something that like you just sign up for soccer. Like it wasn't that big a deal. But I had that like sneaking food and wanting more and sugar, sugar, sugar. And I remember pretending I was drunk, drinking Coke. And now it's funny because that is what gets me drunk. Like it's kind of funny to think that food addiction is kind of wild because like anyone is going to get high on crack. Like there's not a person that's going to smoke crack and be like, nah, it does not affect me in that way. Like it's a very, but pancakes don't affect everybody the way they affect me, and same with alcohol, but also, so that's weird, but also same with peanuts. I don't have an allergy. It'll kill somebody else. Like that's what I had to come to respect was like, it kind of doesn't matter who can eat what. All that really matters is I have to figure out what I can and can't eat. The end. That's really all that matters. And it's even funny with my sponsor and my sponsee. Like, we can all eat things the other one can't, the other ones can't. My
13
sponsor
minute
can't.
reminder.
Thank you. Wait, a what reminder?
You have 13 more minutes.
Oh, got it, got it. Thank you. Like my sponsor can eat, can't eat like lookalike food, and like lookalikes don't bother me. If it doesn't have sugar in it, it's not a problem for me. And then my sponsee can't eat, she can eat some cookies, but she can't eat like a bite of a potato. Like it's that specific. And I like to think of it as bespoke because it's a fancy way to say specific, to say it's tailored to you. Like I had to get really clear about what my issues were. So most of my life from the crash diet, I was dieting or I was eating. I was running to the food or I was running away from the food. My weight was up and down and then gradually got up and up and up. And around 2004, I came into OA for the first time. I was miserable. I had trigger warning. I had attempted to take my life. I had been really depressed and hated myself and existence, and was very surprised when I woke up after drinking and pills and was like, I have to get help, and came to OA. And I totally related with the problem, and I heard the solution, and I had sponsors. But I think I went out the first time because my mom died. And I think I went out another time because I wanted to try intuitive eating. And I think I went out another time, oh, because I wanted to do a more strict program. And every time, like, I would find some relief in OA, and then I would be like, no. Like it says, an easier, softer way. I wanted something better, faster, stronger. One time I was in an OA meeting and I was like, if I took all this time I was at meetings and went to the gym, I'd be there already. And I did not know My problem was that I'm wired to think food is going to fix me. And I also would play around with my abstinence. Like there was a way to have kind of a technical abstinence, or I've heard the term abstinish, of like, well, what's the bottom line thing you won't eat? Brownies. Okay, well, I don't eat that. But, then I'm piling up whatever, nachos, cheese, like anything else. But I get to say, well, I don't eat that one thing. So that's a miracle and I'm fine. And I did that on and off for 20 years. And I never got out of my disease. I never got freedom because I was always in my disease a little bit and trying to manage it. And what happened for me physically, I got neuropathy in my hands and feet. I at over at like something like 120 pounds overweight. I'm about 5 feet tall and was 250 pounds. And I had an itch for like a year or two that I couldn't reach, wouldn't stop. And I just rationalized it away constantly, pre-diabetic, didn't match, still kept eating sugar for years. I went to the doctor. There was a summer 3 years ago, and I had a mammogram and a colonoscopy, and I could barely fit in some of the equipment. And then when I was having a physical, the doctor wrote on my chart limited by habitus. And I'd never seen that phrase. And I was like, does that mean I'm too fat for this exam? And I looked it up, and that is basically what it means, that like there was too much fat for me to actually check the belly for, things I needed to check it for.
7 minute reminder.
Thank you. And I was in OA at the time. I had been in for 3 years and working with a sponsor, but a sponsor who would say, look, I can't tell you what to eat, but we'll just do the steps. Like that philosophy was do the steps until the food falls by the wayside. I never had success with that, although, a certain amount of relief, but I never had r real recovery in that. So I decided to really dive into OA. I did 90 meetings in 90 days. And at one of these meetings, I heard someone share my story, only she was down 80 pounds and looked incredible. Like she has the kind of body, she's like a slamming body. She's like a body that you're like, I can't believe your body ever looked like my body. And I reached out to her and I said, I really need help. I don't know how to really get this thing. And she said, come to an in-person meeting and come to fellowship. And I did. And at fellowship, I met someone who said, she said something I never hear. She said, I love OA. She said, the foods that I don't eat, I wouldn't eat them with a gun to my head. You can sit in my lap and eat those foods, and I wouldn't want them. Like what I hear a lot in OA is, oh, I was at a party and I wanted to eat all this stuff, but of course I can't. And so I forced myself not to. But she was like, I don't want it. She's like, I have freedom. I love it. I get to get on with my life. I would not go back to how it was for anything. And I was like, I want that. I want to feel, because I have it with AA. Like I don't pine for drinks. I'm free of the obsession in there. And I was never free of the food obsession in a way. And she was like, here's what you do. And I talked to her on the phone and I had this moment of surrender. I mean, one, surrender to reach out to my friend and say, can you help me? Two, surrender to go to an in-person meeting. Three, surrender to go to fellowship. I didn't want to do any of that. I didn't want to be in OA because I didn't want the solution, because I didn't want to have the problem. And I think I thought on some level, like if I don't really join OA, then like maybe I don't really have this. Or like joining OA means that I have this, I have compulsive overeating, whether I join OA or not. My options are recovery or my disease. Those are my options. I don't have a third, new car option. So this woman said, here's what I do. I commit my food and then I just eat that food. And I did that. And that gets rid of 95% of my problem. My problem is compulsive eating. I just see food, I put it in my mouth, it seemed fine. Why can't I lose weight? Why do I feel terrible? It was just a little bit of this. I never have any of this. I'm gonna do it. It was always seemed like just a little bit, but I was never really out of the food. So I stopped negotiating with food. I committed, she saw what I committed. So like it, all my food ran through someone, and I do a nightly inventory. On my nightly inventory, I work through upsetting issues. So then I'm able to just eat my committed food. When I eat my committed food, you know, I have the impulse to tweak my food all the time. Like, whatever, if I say I'm going to have a sandwich for my very favorite sandwich in the world, maybe, and I commit it and I'm going to eat the sandwich, I get to lunch. I'm like, well, I don't want that sandwich. I want something else. I'm out of that. And it is such a relief. And I didn't think it would be, but what it does is it gives me a calm and serenity of like, just deal with what is. I don't have to keep changing and I don't have to try to feel better in this moment. I'm fine. This lunch is fine. The sandwich is fine. And food isn't the thing that I thought food would do for me. It just doesn't do. Food is not a roller coaster, fun, good time. Like, that's not what I can get from it. I can tell you that I really enjoy all the food that I have, but I don't look to food for like a good time anymore. But I did for a long time. So, because of this, now that I've done like 1,000 nightly inventories and I've committed my food for this, like, I have energy in my body. I have more presence in my life. A little, God, here's a big thing. Last year, my husband had to have, he went in for a stent. He had heart issues and he went in for, and I'm 55, we're mid 50s. He's very young to have this, but his dad died from this sudden, like drop dead widowmaker. And we took him into the hospital because somebody, he had a test. They said he needed a stent. And when he did the test at the hospital, they said, oh, he needs a triple bypass. Now we're prepping him for surgery. And this was stunning and shocking and terrifying. This was terrifying. I love him. Like, this is my partner. And in my disease, I would have been cruising the vending machines to get through this. Like, I would have been looking to the vending machines like dudes I would want to make out with in college. You know, I would have just been like, maybe a Snickers will get me through the next 15 minutes or whatever. But I was rooted in program, and it was like, okay, tell me how to pack my food for the hospital, and we're just going to take this a day at a time. And I just, he is alive. And he's great. But I didn't know that would happen. And I didn't even need to know in retrospect. I didn't know what it would cost us. I didn't know if he would ever really recover. I mean, I didn't know anything. I just knew that's a really serious surgery. And so I walked through that, and that's really, really big. And I took him, we went to Maui a couple of months ago to celebrate aliveness, both of our alivenesses. And that's also big. And I didn't have to overeat in Maui, and I didn't have to eat at the hospital. I don't have to eat compulsively through anything. And I had to stop eating before I really understood that. And then I was able to see, oh, it's the same in other 12-step programs. Like in AA, you stop drinking day one, technically, and then you work the steps to stay stopped. And I thought, OA was like, well, I guess you just slip and slide and keep eating and do the steps. And one day, like God just takes the food out of your hand, I guess. And I never found that to be true. My God never stopped me. I will wrap up from eating. And I became a meditation teacher and I still, got to 100 pounds overweight. Like spirituality did not keep me from eating. I that is somebody's story, but it is not mine. And even small things, yesterday had a flat tire and was totally chill about the whole thing. Asked for help from people in program. They helped me. They picked me up. The place patched up the tire for free. I mean, that's not one of the promises, but it happened because I asked for help. So I guess that's my message tonight. Like, what really helped me the most was total surrender and asking for help on a daily basis. So thanks for letting me share.